From WYPR, I'm Sheila Kast. We're on the record. Most teen car crashes occur because of driver inexperience. Research shows that clocking hours behind the wheel with an experienced driver present increases a teenager's confidence and capability to react in an emergency. We speak with two advocates for the University of Maryland Children's Hospital Practice Driving with Your Teen sticker campaign, emergency pediatric medicine resident Dr. Layla Karina Ojeda and Cliff Tompkins, whose 7-year-old son died in a crash involving a teenager's inexperience.
Parents, you do not want to spend the rest of your life with the pain of the guilt that you didn't do everything within your power to prepare and protect your teen driver.
It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning. I'm Sheila Kast. We're On the Record. We're about a week into the 100 deadliest days for teenage drivers. The number of teen crashes increases markedly during the summer. Most often, the root of these crashes is the inexperience of teen drivers. Three Maryland restaurants are supporting a campaign initiated by the University of Maryland Children's Hospital to use stickers to raise awareness. These stickers urge parents to practice driving with your teen, because research shows that clocking hours behind the wheel with an experienced driver present can increase a teen driver's confidence and capability. So when an unexpected event occurs, a young driver is more likely to react appropriately and move skillfully into an emergency maneuver. To learn about the campaign, we're joined today by Dr. Layla Karina Ojeda, pediatric medicine resident at University of Maryland Children's Hospital, who advocates for teen driving safety as an extension of her work in children's preventive health. Welcome, Dr. Ojeda.
Hi, good morning.
And also joining us is Cliff Tompkins, a father from Calvert County who advocates for teen driving safety laws and education, galvanized by the tragic loss of his son 12 years ago. Welcome.
Thank you.
Tell us what happened June 18th, 2005.
We were heading out for my parents' 50th wedding anniversary, and unfortunately, like many, we worked all week, and so we drove all night trying to get there in time, and after stopping for breakfast, straight stretch of I-70, I couldn't take it anymore, and asked my teenage daughter, who'd been driving about a year and a half, I said, okay, it's yours. Get in, drive for about 90 minutes, let me get a quick nap, and then I'll take back over. It's a straight, put it on cruise control, and you'll be good. And about 30 minutes later, she came upon some construction, went to change lanes to get away from the construction, and a truck came speeding up behind her, cut her off. And as she tried to correct back into her lane, she lost control, and our van rolled into the median.
And the car flipped?
The car rolled several times. Myself, my wife, my teenage son, and my 7-year-old son were in the car. And my 7-year-old son didn't survive.
I'm so sorry. For a lot of people, that would sort of be something that they would try to kind of run from the rest of their lives. You've turned it into advocacy. Why?
Many people deal with loss in different ways, and it can tear families apart. And my wife and I realized that we still had two children at home, and now one of them was responsible, you know, for this accident. But the more I looked into it, the more I turned inward, and I'm an analyst, retrained engineer turned into an analyst, and so I started analyzing the situation and realized that there were lots of things that led to my daughter's inability to respond to the emergency situation that she was put in, and realized that a lot of the blame was on myself and my wife for not adequately preparing our daughter. But then the more I looked into it is, you know, some people would say that's just you trying to take on the guilt. And I do blame myself. But I also blame our community as a whole, because as I started looking into teen driver safety and how we prepare our kids, I've been driving for 40 plus years. Things are a lot different than from the simulators and things that I learned on. And I started driving when I was 14. I was with my parents for 4.5 years learning to drive before they turned me loose. That's not the way things happen now. And money driving the world, a lot of our programs have been cut to the point where we don't teach our children enough on the traffic safety, and not so much the laws, but the how-tos.
Well, is simply driving with teens, parents driving with teens, that helpful?
Being a parent, all I can say is anecdotally, yes and no. If you're a bad driver, and I was just talking to Dr. Ojeda here before the show, if you sit there and do nothing, okay, it's not going to help. If you stay engaged, it may help. If you point out because of what you've learned in your many years of driving, hey, look what's going to happen. What's that car four lanes up going to do? Or maybe there is a motorcycle that comes riding up in between you. What do you do? You know, those type of things. But what's funny is I started being a proponent for this in the last couple of weeks on this specific effort, and we were on Channel 13 on Friday. And yesterday, my wife came home and said, hey, one of my friends came up and said that, tell your husband I'm mad at him for getting me in trouble. And what happened was her daughter had seen the show on Channel 13 and about staying engaged, and she yelled at her mom saying, you're not engaging with me. You sit and play on your phone when you're in the car with me.
Wow.
And you don't teach me anything. You need to be engaged. So that was, this campaign is already having an effect.
Dr. Ojeda, tell us specifically about this campaign.
So this campaign actually began last year. I approached Dr. Lichtenstein, and he was interested.
Tell us who Dr. Lichtenstein is.
Dr. Lichtenstein is a pediatric emergency room attending at University of Maryland's Pediatric Emergency Department, and I knew that he was part of and actually leads the Teen Safe Driving Coalition of Maryland. And I was interested in what I can do to get involved. And he said how Texas had a teen driving sticker campaign, and he wanted to bring that over to Maryland. And thankfully, my husband's a graphic arts designer, so we were able to tailor the stickers to be more Maryland-like. Last year, they had orange colors. This year, they have purple colors. Last year, we had we distributed 10,000 stickers through Miss Shirley's and Green Turtle. And this year, we actually plan on distributing 20,000 stickers through Miss Shirley's, Green Turtle, and Roy Rogers.
And what do you think the stickers do? The stickers tell parents, I had the words a minute ago. Tell me what's on the stickers.
The stickers say, practice driving with your teen, they'll heart you later. And they encourage parents to drive with their teenagers, but also bring about awareness for parents to get involved with their teens that are driving. And there are statistics that show that parental involvement with young drivers improves, well, I should say it reduces risky driving as well as reduces car crashes.
Tell me more about those statistics.
There are a couple of studies that demonstrate that parents who impose stricter curfews, that impose stricter rules on passengers, and that are just in general impose stricter rules on their young drivers when they're on the road, that those teenagers are less involved in risky behaviors, and they have less crashes involved. And there's at least two studies that found that.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Kass speaking with Dr. Leila Karina Ojeda, pediatric medicine resident at University of Maryland Children's Hospital, and Cliff Tompkins, a parent advocate for teen driving safety. We're talking about how to get parents more involved in safe driving by their teens. You said you heard that Dr. Lichtenstein was doing this and that sparked your interest, but tell us more about how this started.
We were basically starting it from the ground up. So we got a template of the sticker that was done at Texas, and we edited the stickers. And then we asked University of Maryland Medical Center to actually fund the stickers. So they printed the stickers and funded it. And I contacted various restaurants throughout Maryland, and thankfully two of them responded last year, and now three responded this year saying that they would love to distribute the stickers. So the way that they distribute the stickers is that they place the stickers on to-go bags. So those are the families most likely to be driving, and hopefully one of their teenagers in their car with them.
Your interest in this campaign, how does it fit into the rest of your work?
I am actually a graduating pediatric resident and will be starting my second residency in preventive medicine residency. And my goal is to get involved in advocacy and policy of children's health care. And in my opinion, while it's very important for children to have good eating and exercising habits to keep them healthy, safe driving is also very important to keep our kids healthy and alive.
Cliff Tompkins, you've already told us one example of the sticker campaign catching somebody's attention. But what's your experience of this kind of thing? I mean, how much does something like that actually galvanize parents?
Since our accident, and we've been involved in just trying to improve awareness of teen driver safety and paying attention to all of our friends with their children and the things that happen in our county where the roads are curved and there's lots of woods and there isn't much in the way of shoulders and things like that, where things are a little bit different than in a city where most of the speeds are at 30, 40 miles an hour, but then up on the freeways. It's all different. And when you talk to the children and you tell them what you've done and how you should engage with them, and you talk to a lot of these parents, they go, oh no, they get that all in the classes. And they just kind of disengage and they say, okay, here's the keys. Yeah, we drove. You get some parents that will fulfill the booklet that you have to do for MVA that says you spent so many hours, 50 or 60 hours, I think is the requirement now, with your child. Some parents just fill that out at the last minute, just, you know, fake it and send their kids off to get their driver's license. And there's other parents that they'll record it down to the minute and won't let their kid go until they get that exact hour. So I think it varies quite a bit from parent to parent and how involved they want to be. And a lot of it has to do with perspective. If you've never had anything that's happened to you or your friends or your family, there's so many things going on in our world right now with events and activities. Sometimes parents just don't think that, hey, this is a 2,000, 3,000-pound vehicle capable of 80 miles an hour, and I just put them in control.
Dr. Ojeda, I would imagine some people may think that driver's education would be enough.
Unfortunately, it is not enough.
What's missing?
They're taught the laws. However, it's been noted that there are 1,500 skills needed to drive a motor vehicle.
1,500 skills.
Mm-hmm. And this includes observation, perception, interpretation, reaction, and anticipation. And research shows that these cognitive and motor skills do not develop until the mid to late 20s. Yet we have on the road 15 to 20-year-olds driving.
Okay, that sets me back. I have to ponder that a minute. That sounds like a huge gap. How does parents in the car when a young person's driving begin to close that big gap?
Well, parents thankfully already have experience. The reason why teenagers get into car crashes is because of inexperience. It's the number one reason. So now you have an experienced person, the parent, in the passenger seat, and they can provide information about, in terms of anticipation, you see the motorcycle coming, what do you do? There's a truck driver, what can you anticipate? Observe, look at all your surroundings. So the parents can really help develop these five skills just by being present and being involved.
Cliff Tompkins, have you seen improvements since you began educating yourself and advocating for driving safety a dozen years ago?
Not really. You know, when you look at the changing rules and laws, I see things where people are discussing trying to raise the driving age. because of the things like Dr. Hato mentioned that says, oh, well, if they're older, their skill sets, their cognitive skills, et cetera, are better. But as a parent and a critical thinking person would say, well, wait a minute. These kids are going to normally get out of the house around 17, 18, 19 years old. And the more we push the starting driving age out to those older ages when they're supposedly a better learner and know more, now they're away from the parent. So who's going to teach them to drive if they go off to college and that's when they first get their license? Are they going to learn it from the rest of their friends that just got their license? Where does that experience come from if they've never spent that time with somebody knowledgeable? And who's going to be that knowledgeable if they're away from the house?
Dr. Ojeda, what do you think about starting later when the brain is a little more developed?
I agree with Cliff as well that, yes, they will be more cognitively developed, but at the same time, the issue is the inexperience, so they will still be a novice driver, and novice drivers within the first year are most dangerous. So I don't truly believe that's a solution. There are still studies need to be done to see what are the solutions. And I really do think that parents have a major role. So we still have a ways to go, but I think we're slowly getting there.
Well, are young people really paying that much attention?
A funny story about that. About 3 weeks ago, I was babysitting my 3-year-old granddaughter and just driving down the road going somewhere. And like many people, I was driving with one arm up on the steering wheel, just grabbing the top center of the steering wheel, cruising along. And she says to me, "Soups, you're driving wrong." She calls me Soups for Super Gramps. But she says, "You're driving wrong." And I turned around and looked at her like, holy cow, a 3-year-old backseat driver. And I said, "Okay, I'll bite. What am I doing wrong?" And she says, "You're driving like this," and pointed out that I was driving with one hand. She goes, "You're supposed to be driving like this," and puts her hands up in the air at the 10 and 2, or like this at the 3 and 9. She's 3 years old. And I said, "Where did you learn that?" And she said, "Mommy taught me." She had gotten a toy Jeep for her third birthday about 2 months before. And we've been working with our daughter after the accident. Well, she started working with her 3-year-old. Kids are impressionable from a very young age. Parents shouldn't wait until they become teenagers and get their permits. Parents got to be paying attention from the time that kid's in the car with them. They learn all kinds of things from you from the time that they're born, especially during those early impressionable years.
We're going to take a quick break here on the record. Before I do, let me ask each of you whether you've got some word of wisdom that you want to share, that you want parents to take away from this conversation. Dr. Ojeda?
I would like parents to put stricter restrictions, such as curfews, on their kids, specifically getting them home by 10 p.m.
10 p.m. Cliff Tompkins, what would you want parents to take away?
Parents, you do not want to spend the rest of your life with the pain of the guilt that you didn't do everything within your power to prepare and protect your teen driver. You don't want to learn from the mistake. So get engaged. Stay engaged with your teen driver.
A lot from both of you to think about. Thank you. Dr. Leila Karina Ojeda is a pediatric medicine resident, graduating resident at University of Maryland Children's Hospital. She advocates for teen driving safety as an extension of her work in children's preventive health. Thanks.
Thank you.
Cliff Tompkins, whose 7-year-old son died in a crash involving teen driving inexperience, advocates for the Practice Driving with Your Teen awareness campaign. Cliff's going to stay with me on the record. When we get back from this break, we'll talk more about what parents can do. I'm Sheila Cast. Stay tuned.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast, and with me is Cliff Tompkins, a parent who advocates for teen driving safety. Cliff Tompkins' 7-year-old son was killed in a crash 12 years ago when Cliff's 17-year-old daughter was surprised by an impatient driver, overcompensated, and the car flipped. He's made his personal loss the inspiration for getting parents to drive with their teens. Cliff Tompkins, what are some resources for parents if they feel their kids don't have the driving skills they need and they want them to get such skills?
Well, obviously, in this day of the internet, you can look up all kinds of things online on, you know, driving safety and driving techniques. But some of the things personally, from personal experience, after our accident, my daughter never wanted to get into a car again. And so we started looking at, well, what how can parents teach? Because there's no place out there to go. You can't take your child out onto the highway and have their wheels drop off the edge of a road and try to recover. You know, there's no place where you can slam on the brakes on the road unless it's some isolated stretch. You try to do donuts in a parking lot or swerve around cones in a parking lot and, you know, probably more than likely the police are going to show up and give you a ticket for trespassing. And so there are some things out there. We did some research early on for our children, and the two specific things that I think are valuable is things such as the car control clinic. Look it up online. A slow speed emergency maneuver type course, and it's a 25 to 30 mile an hour slow speed training course all day long in your own car with the parent sitting beside the child. They teach them how to brake. Whether it's anti-lock brakes or non-anti-lock brakes, they teach you to stop within a box depending on how fast you're going. They teach them how to brake in a curve. They actually let them slalom around cones and hard brake in a curve, and then they wet the whole course down and do it all over again with wet pavement. Very good slow speed, very non-risky type things. In our case, it was done in the parking lot of one of the local schools.
We will link to them from the on the record page at WIPR.org.
And then the other one that I think is far more valuable, and I should say up front, I have no link to this company whatsoever, but BSR Incorporated out of Summit Point Raceway up in West Virginia has an highway accident avoidance course. It is a highway speed course. It mimics a lot of the things that were in the low speed car control clinic. They start them off at 25, 30 miles an hour in a side parking lot, swerving, hard braking, maneuvering around cones. And then they use the Summit Point Raceway Grand Prix track. And they take them out. It's a wooded track, so you can't see around the corners. It has edges that drop off precipitously. They also have an oval or a circular spin track that they wet down and make the students go into a skid around the 360-degree track. But it's about an 8.5-hour course, of which 5.5-6 hours is in the car using old police vehicles, and it's all taught by policemen. And they have to go out onto this track, maneuver around fallen trees, drop their tires off the pavement, get back up onto the pavement without losing control. They'll be going rounding a curve, and a box will come being pulled out across, simulating a dog or a child or an animal running across the road. They have to either emergency brake or swerve to avoid it. And it's a great course. My daughter and my son took it, and it put my daughter back on the road because she finally said, I now have some confidence that I could handle an emergency. That course is available. It's online, BSR Inc.
For new drivers, rookies, Maryland has graduated driver's licensing. Mm-hmm. What is that? How does it work?
Graduated driver's license is meant to limit their exposure by giving them a certain amount of time, give them a license so that they can drive with parents in the car, give them a short period of time for those parents to be engaged and to help train them as they're going through their training with the schools or with the paid companies to do that work. And then there's a period of time when they're limited, as Dr. Ojeda mentioned, where you're limited to having those outside influences, your friends. You can't carry other teenagers, you know, et cetera, like that. And then before they give you your full license and allow you to test for your permit or for your permanent license.
Have you heard of or experienced any pushback of teenagers who don't appreciate their parents being in their business and telling them how to drive? Backseat driving by parents.
Yeah, my son. After our accident, my son shortly thereafter was doing his teen work, and one of the programs we had brought into our county on a trial basis was called Drive Cam. It's a little camera that you put on the mirror, and it tapes inside and outside the vehicle every time an event happens. Hard braking, hard acceleration, going off the road, etc. And it takes little videos when the events happen, sends it to a company. The company sends you, the parents, a link to the videos with some teaching instructions on how to engage with your child. And so it's not meant to be a punitive tool to get the kids in trouble. It was meant to give parents the opportunity with some hints on here's how you talk about the event that happened and what they were doing and what they should not do. And my son saw that as an invasion of privacy, and I'm not a bad driver, and those type of things. So a lot of kids do push back, but they're at that rebellious age. You know, that's sometimes the girls a little bit sooner, but anywhere in that 15 to 17-year-old age, they're all trying to strive for independence. So it's a hard balance for parents to want to protect their child and teach them how to protect themselves with the driving skills.
I'm grateful to you for this conversation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Cliff Tompkins, whose 7-year-old son died in a crash involving teen driving inexperience, advocates for the Practice Driving with Your Teen Awareness Campaign. Earlier, we spoke with Dr. Leila Karina Ojeda, pediatric medicine resident at the University of Maryland Children's Hospital. At the On the Record page at WIPR.org, we have links to some of the resources they've mentioned. I'm Sheila Cast. Glad you've been with us on the record. Come back tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.